There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday, and lots to do on this show. And by tomorrow, just a week out from Election Day for municipal elections in Alabama, we'll talk more about what's going on in Mobile and Baldwin County throughout the show. All right, and as we get started as well, I want to say a big, big shout out to Leanna, who worked hard over the Friday and Saturday over the weekend to get the 2-hour. And I didn't, you know, I thought a 2-hour mayoral forum that we held on Thursday, you know, with the four candidates from Mobile's mayor. I don't know. I do this show for 2 hours. I didn't think about the fact that it was like 2 hours of video, which is a lot. And so Leanna, who put it together and got it posted to our YouTube page, and of course, linking through from our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, is a lot to do out there. And she did a great job on it. You can go check it out if you didn't see it in person. Well, you can go watch it, because if you didn't listen to it at all, it'll be fresh. If you listen to it, you'll get to see you know, the folks you know, sitting there. We've got the mics, got the camera, the whole nine yards. You can go watch that through our Facebook page or our YouTube page. We'll talk more about that coming up later in the show. Speaking of politics, too, the announcement. Of course, the announcement on Friday from Barry Moore, which was not a very well-kept secret. And then the announcement from Jerry Curl today, which was not a big secret either, but he's going to join us to talk more about that announcement coming up around 12:30. Leadoff batter is my buddy and yours. The crowd goes wild. Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and from Capital Journal. Hey, Todd.
How's it going?
It's good. You wrote this yesterday. In the email yesterday, it's that European leaders joined Ukraine Zelensky for White House meeting with Trump. So I've been watching the monitor here, like as the dignitaries are coming in to the White House. It's like they're having a house party. It's just, I mean, like, pull it up. It's like, okay, and here's, I mean, one after another, they're piling out, they're going in. Maybe get everybody in the same place and get something done. I would pray that that happens.
Who's got the keg?
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like that, right? You watch it like, yeah, there's, you know, there's Macron. Woo, Maloney's there. You know, here they come in. So, but they're there. I don't know. I mean, help me understand this. If Zelensky, and maybe it's just negotiation, I do get negotiations. If he says, oh, we want everything, we want Crimea and everything, he's not getting it. They're not getting Crimea. I don't want Russia to have Crimea, but I also am a realistic person. If you want this thing to stop, you're not going to have Crimea.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what's going to happen? Nobody really does. It's one of these things that's frustrating because we live in this kind of instant gratification culture where, okay, they have this meeting in Alaska and we need to know what happens, right? Everybody goes on TV and tries to speculate when we really don't know what's happening. I do think that the European involvement is really interesting because it's a reminder of really kind of what's at stake, because if, you know, one of the things that a lot of us really don't want is for Russia and Putin to be essentially rewarded for starting a war, invading a neighbor, and taking over a bunch of land. And so that's always kind of been in folks' minds is in terms of, well, if this ends, we certainly don't want it to end with him being rewarded for aggression. That's just, you know, throughout world history, we don't like that. But it's especially true in Europe. Like, it's one thing for us to say it, but we're on the other side of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you think about Poland, if you think about Germany, if you think about Finland, they could very well be next. And who's to say if Putin isn't rewarded for this aggression, they won't try it again. And so I think, to me, the biggest thing about the European leaders' involvement is demonstrating just that. They actually have to live with it and see right up close and personal what that aggression might mean next time around. And so I think that's probably what they're talking about right now. And that's a really good message for the White House to hear, not just the Ukrainian side.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, you're right. There's no way of knowing. But the next time around, I think, would be a hard no. And I think you've got to give Donbass and areas like that back to Ukraine. But the Crimea thing, I mean, it's the concrete kind of got dry on that one. Yeah, I believe, I agree. It's aggression they took. But it's the concrete's kind of dry on that one. I mean, that's one, if you're going to say, well, unless they get Crimea, we're not going to make a deal. And if, you know, letting Russia hold Crimea means that the next thing they're doing is going to go through the folder gap and invade, you know, Germany, I don't think those are equivalent and not a reason to continue the bloodshed.
Well, I wasn't answering as if Crimea was the linchpin there. I was just saying in general, I have no idea what they're negotiating. And if you want to talk about Crimea, you know, you really got to go back to 2014.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. That concrete's dry, right?
That's when that happened. Yeah, that's when that happened. That's probably a different negotiation. Now, look,
but Zelensky says he wants it back. I mean, that may just be negotiation, but he's saying, there's no deal unless we get Crimea back.
Of course he does. Yeah, what's he going to walk in the room and say, never mind, I don't want that? That's how you negotiate. But so yeah, we'll see. I'm talking more specifically on the current war and what's going on. Now I'll say this: Russia, deservedly so, is going to be in for decades of guerrilla resistance. If whatever territory they do want to claim, and there's probably going to be some zone set up. That's how these things typically go. But it's not like, I mean, if the Ukrainians have proven one thing, is that they're not quitters. They're not giving up, right? A lot of folks expected Putin right at the very top that, you know, a huge show of force at the very beginning would back down and give up their capital and just, you know, sue for peace. They did not. And so even in Crimea, even in other parts of the, you know, disputed territories, they're going to have resistance. And it may not be formal. It may not be state-sponsored, but they're going to have it. And so and again, they've earned it, because if you invade another country, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to, that other country is going to fight back. We know a thing or two about that.
Yeah, we got that right. Bring it back home to Alabama and the top story in today's email from y'all. This one, it leaves me slack. You can help me through it. So the ADVA, so Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, didn't insure, y'all, you know, you have different kinds of insurance, but we'll let Todd just this first sentence. Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs didn't insure the contents of its new 200-capacity nursing home in Enterprise before it opened last fall and burned in the spring. Did they not send the premium in? Did not sign? Where did the screw-up happen?
Opted not to. Yeah, so this is...
The stuff in a nursing home has got to be worth as much as the brick and mortar and roof and all that. I mean, beds and all that.
Well, equipment. We'll find out. So basically, you know, the Department of Veterans Affairs, the State Department of Veterans Affairs, the big thing that they do is nursing homes and cemeteries, right? And so this big, brand new, beautiful nursing home in Enterprise opened, I guess it was last September, or September before last. So it's a real gem for the state, but it caught on fire pretty quickly after it opened. And right about that time, we started getting anonymous tips from folks saying, hey, y'all need to check in on this, because there was a lot of conversation about having the contents of that building, not the building itself. The building itself was insured, but the contents of that building insured. And it turns out that the Department of Finance, we had to figure this out through a Freedom of Information request. The Department of Finance had been sending emails to Veterans Affairs staff saying, "Hey, aren't y'all going to insure this stuff? Aren't y'all going to have content insurance? And those emails were never answered. And so the fire happened, and state's going to be on the hook for it. So it's just
how big's that hook? How much are we looking at?
Well, see, and I'm not really sure because we ask. You know, this is Mary's story, so I should give good credit. She's the writer here. She asked, and they say, oh, it's only about $100,000. Now, that's kind of hard to buy.
Dude, those beds, if people have ever dealt with that with dealing with ailing loved ones, the beds
are...
I don't think
it affected much of the bed space, but, I mean, it started in the kitchen. Think about kitchen equipment. So it's hard, and by the way, they put in for a $4.5 million coverage, insurance coverage plan after the fact, after the fire. So that tells me... a little more than $100,000. We'll see. They're going to have to answer before the legislature. But it's just, look, one thing after the other. This is not this like last month. This is going back 2 years when all this was actually going on. And so it's just, you know, more of the greatest hits from the former commissioner, you know, who says he wants to run for governor now or run for Senate or run for something. But it's... this is an example of some of the skeletons that might come out if he does.
Well, I think, I mean, we probably, I don't know if we agree or disagree. This thing, well, I support the former head here in what happened to him. This is obviously something he has to answer for. This is also a screw up. So, I mean, I think both things can be true. I mean, I think you go, okay, what's happening here versus the way the thing was done. But we may just have to agree to disagree on that one. But I will ask him if he comes back on the show. Because, I mean, this is a fail. This is just a straight up fail.
Well, it's one thing to not insure the contents of a building and say, oh, wow, we should have done that. It's one. It's another thing for there to be documented prompts.
Going, hey, are you going to do this? And they don't answer. Yeah, I'm with
you.
But
again, it comes along the same timeline that they were arguing, you know, with guess who? The Department of Finance. So it's one of those things like, doesn't play well with others.
Todd, while we're on state stories as well, the big, beautiful bill, and this, I mean, y'all reported on this several times, this discussion here on it and what it means for the state of Alabama. Your story today, lawmakers want big, beautiful information before budget hearings. What big differences are they? I mean, I guess they don't know before they go into this. Like, how much money were we getting elsewhere and now we're not getting? What's Mary's story say here?
Well, that's exactly what the legislature wants to know. So, you know, the big, beautiful bill passes, signed into law. We know that it means that the state is going to be more responsible for things. All states, not just Alabama, all states are going to be more responsible
for money, right?
Well, yeah. In some ways, responsibility, but the real thing is money. Specifically on SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, food stamps, that could be as much as $200 million. You know, that's big. Now, a lot of that could mean cuts. We don't know. These are the things that they want answers to. Medicaid, we know that we're not going to be hurt quite as much as Medicaid expansion states, but we still don't know exactly what those shortfalls are going to be and how those shortfalls affect other things, you know, that end up, you know, there are kind of ripples in the pond, there, you know, ripple effect to these kind of things. So, yeah, Chairman Greg Allbritton, he's the chairman of the General Fund Committee in the Senate. That's where a lot of these things are going to hurt, right? It's not going to be the education fund. It's going to be the general fund, which traditionally doesn't have a lot of money just laying around. So this is going to be an interesting hearing because, you know, they got about a week to figure out some of these questions. And it's going to be, okay, what are we, 6 months before session starts? Not even that. And if the state is asked to come up with hundreds of millions of dollars, they better start looking around and checking between the couch cushions.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, people want to read this. We're talking about this story and getting that email 6 days a week in their inbox. How do they do that?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
And also, Capital Journal, they can watch it live, or they can be like me and watch it on YouTube. Tell them both ways.
Well, that's right. You want to catch it on YouTube. And this week's episode is from Point Clear. We did From Point Clear with the BCA conference, so you'll recognize a lot of stuff and see, I mean, lots of different folks on camera one of our biggest episodes of the year. So check that out on YouTube, Capital Journal.
Good stuff, as always, Todd. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, Sean, I'll be good.
All right, there goes Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Go! Right, 12:25 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Coming up in a couple minutes, Jerry Curl. Go! Announcement today. We'll talk with that. Talking with him about that. About 10 minutes or so. Right now, let's check in with my buddy David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars, new week to work with. Let's talk some inventory, David.
Hey, Sean. Good afternoon. We've got a really good inventory right now. We're hoping to buy some more today and tomorrow. But one thing we've got is a 3/4 ton F-250 that's a gas burner. So not being a diesel, that's going to save you $10,000 off the top if anybody's looking for a good heavy-duty work truck, pull a big boat or lawn tractors or whatever you guys use it for. Going with a gas motor, that 6.2 is a really good motor. And we've got a ton of trucks in inventory like always, but we've also got some really nice cars. We bought some cheaper stuff here lately, stuff under $10,000. So if anybody's in the market and all that stuff can be financed, just come see us.
Okay, talk about coming to see you. How do they do it, online and in person?
Online, we're at lcmmotorcars.com. In person, you can come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Bye, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Let's grab a few texts here before the news takes over. Dun, dun, dun. Let's see. Bucky Beaver. Bucky. All right. What is this from Bucky? Says, Sean, this is Bucky Beaver. Quit making us, just waiting for the moment you decide to run for governor. Me and my extended family would take care of all the wooden stakes that you need to put your signs up. Quit teasing everybody. There's no current announcement that I was. Yeah, remember what happened? I did say when there was no one running, there was no declared candidate running in the Republican primary against Tommy Tuberville, that if it continued that way, I would get in. The reason for that, so you understand before you, I got to get on there and text this, son of a, is because I believe in the process. I don't believe in there not being any opposition intra-party. I think, steel sharpens steel, right? So not that I have the steel of Coach Tuberville, but that's where I came from it. So, Bucky, I am not announcing this cycle. I won't box myself out forever, but this cycle I am not. I don't have time for that. We can't do that. All right. Commentary from Todd and I about the deal going on here. The house party at the White House. I mean, it's a serious negotiation, but it was just interesting. Fox News had the monitor on, and they're just showing the cars pull up and all the dignitaries step out. And I'm like, this is like some, hey, here's someone's, like a red carpet thing or something. I don't know. It's just strange to me. This unnamed texter says, what about the ethnic Russians that have lived in the Donbass for 80 years? What about the CIA-led coup deposing the elected government of Ukraine in 2014? Yeah, the Orange Revolution, those are all things. I'm just, what I was saying, I think, if you listen, texter, is if I understand negotiations. So for Zelensky to come in and say, yeah, we're going to get Crimea back. You got to say that going into the negotiation. If that's true and and he wouldn't move on that, then we're kind of hosed on this thing. I think that concrete's dry, but we got a text line for you to disagree on. Disagree with me on that. All right, Fire Dog. My man Fire Dog, good to hear from you. The people screaming that we shouldn't reward Russia and no negotiations with Putin aren't fighting on the ground in Ukraine. Your perspective changed during a firefight where you see fellow soldiers killed and wounded. I do not wish to reward Russia any more than the next person. The only answer to getting Russia out would be a NATO boots on the ground, and that's a bad idea. You got that right. Any boots that could look like our government-issued boots on the ground would be a bad thing. Let's see. Matt says, hey, Sean, don't get me wrong, but I really do like Todd Stacey, but I'll reserve judgment on the former ADVA commissioner until he makes a statement about this story. Todd has always been too easy to carry the governor, Governor Ivey's water. Yeah, so what I'm getting at, Matt, is I may have the admiral on here on the show soon, and I'm a supporter. As you know, if you've listened any period of time, I think he got a very bad deal. At the same time, if there is truth here that they screwed up on ensuring the contents inside that facility and enterprise, then they've got to live up to it and own it. You know, just because I like him on one thing, if they screwed that up, I would be wrong in not pointing that out. So, but we'll ask him, like, you know, I will, and get it through his own words. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. And big announcement out today. Jerry Carl is going to come re-announce right here on the show. Stand by.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. And, yeah, big thank you to Leanna putting in a yeoman's task, putting the debate video up, because it takes a lot of space on a hard drive, a lot of work to upload that and put it together. And she's got it up. If you go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, you'll see the link to the Mobile mayoral forum we did last week. You can look through it there. And big thank you to Leanna for doing that. All right. He is in studio, and it's good to see Jerry Carl. It's an announcement that I would say we're breaking again here on the show. Congressman, welcome aboard.
Well, Jeff, listen to me. Sean, I felt like I was cheating on you. You know,
yeah, I did
made
too.
The first announcement on.
I didn't.
On Jeff yeah, Porch. Yeah, you know, but
we can work that out when we go to break. I'm not real happy, but you know.
Okay. Well,
you've had a pretty good track record of making announcements on this show.
You know, I've called you from the floor of the Capitol during January 6th.
And you made announcements for county commission on this show Congress on this show.
So I sure did.
I'll just pretend Jeff's thing didn't happen. We'll keep the streak going.
I cheated on you. I don't know what else to say.
Well, that's fine. We'll work together. Couples counseling. We'll work through it.
Okay.
Hey, so the announcement, it's official today.
It is. It's official. We are going to run for a congressional seat, Alabama 01, and we're excited. We're excited to get out there. We've actually been working on some stuff already for the last couple of months, kind of behind the scenes. We have our team put together, of course, fundraising. Will start after today's announcement, so people know that you're officially in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can start focusing on getting us money. So we'll start the fundraising, but at the same time, we're running a full blown campaign tonight. We've got an event tonight in Atmore, so we're on the road doing the best we can do.
Let's talk about the lay of the land, just the X's and O's of running a campaign. AL1, I don't like how it's drawn, but it is what it is.
There's
right
nine
now.
Different counties, and it ranges from Dothan to Mobile.
Yeah, it goes from state line to state line,
yes,
pretty much.
Exactly, it's what it is.
It's I could sit here and just rah, 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 rah about the district, but it is what it is. Until maybe some things change in the future, but it's not changing for the 26th cycle. We know that. AL1's,
definitely not 26, probably 28.
But as you look at it, what you're campaigning for, AL1, is as drawn now. It is not
correct.
Going to change before.
No, it will not be changed for 2026. I'm assured of that.
It is a tough deal, the way these stretch, for areas of interest. You know, it's one thing we talked about with the redistricting is one of the lines, you know, out there in VRA was to hold communities of interest together. They kind of blew that out of the water with the redrawing. How do you... Because I have felt, I'll just tell you, I have felt that with Congressman Moore in, he does come here and all that, but I don't think my area, my part of AL1, is his main focus. I think it's in the Wiregrass. Flip that around. If somebody in the Wiregrass now says, well, Jerry Carl's interest is going to be back there where Sean is.
Well, I hope they would take a little different approach to it. I think the first thing we got to do, we got to become one. It can't be the Wiregrass versus the coastal area. It can't be that way. Not in my mind. We have to be one. So I have to prioritize what's needed. You know, does Dothan need this? Does Geneva County need that? Mobile County needs this. You know, I have to prioritize that. But we're representing the entire state, you know, as representatives.
True.
So, you know, you have to keep that in mind. But the prioritization is something that I'm going to have to work on.
Yeah.
And I hope... So people will vote on people or vote on a candidate. And so far, it's just myself that has registered to run. We'll vote on a candidate with most experience. They can get the job done from day one. So I've got 40 plus years of business for myself, my own companies. I've got 8 years of local government, and I've got 4 years of federal government. I got a pretty good pedigree going there. So I hope people look at that versus where I actually live.
True. I would hope that as well. I just know the way, how jingoistic thing, yep. you know, we all I can agree. Be. And looking at this, you know, as you go, okay, I'm running this campaign again, same drawing of the district, you're going to have to make a difference there. Now, the difference is Barry Moore is not there, not
right.
running.
Correct.
So opens up some inroads, of course, in the Wiregrass. And then as you come to the southwest there, if there was a front line for this thing, just watching the results from last time, it was Baldwin County.
No doubt. I mean, Baldwin County, we took that. I was trying to remember the numbers. It was roughly about 73%. I think we took Baldwin County. Escambia County, too, played a huge role. Mm-hmm. We just didn't have the turnout. Overall numbers is what killed us. Well, you can blame a lot of things. Bottom line, we lost. I lost. I didn't run a good enough candidate as a candidate. So let's accept the fact we lost. But you look at that day, you look at the amount of rain we got that day, I mean, it just come a gully mm-hmm. washer. And folks just didn't turn out and vote. And whether were they turned off, didn't want to vote, or were they, didn't inconvenience and didn't want to get, soaking wet, I don't know. But this election's got to be different. You know, so many people depend on a very small margin of the voting population to make their decisions. Mm-hmm. And that's wrong. You know, I'd love to tell people when they talk to me, I say, well, did you vote in the last election? They go, no, but I want to complain about something. I want to tell them so bad, you've got no right to complain. If you didn't vote, you have no right to complain. But it doesn't work that way.
Well, yeah, it doesn't stop people from doing it. Maybe there's something different. I've looked at this with admiration, what Jeff Poore did down there with the Orange Beach mayoral debate.
Yeah.
And they sold out the facility at 1,500 people. By my best estimates, there's no more than 4,000 can vote in Orange Beach. That's a turnout. Like, if we could see, I guess it doesn't mean they're all going to turn out, but heck, if they went to the dang debate, you think they're going to turn out to vote? Maybe there's better turnout, in 26.
I hope so. I hope people let's just take Baldwin County, for example. I hope they think and go, wait, this... We know Jerry. We're comfortable with Jerry. Let's vote for Jerry. I hope the folks in Dothan look and go, hey, this guy's got a little experience.
Mm-hmm.
We can use him back in the House. You know, that's what I'm trying to sell. I'm trying to sell Jerry Carl. I don't want to run anybody down. I don't want to talk about anybody else. I want people to understand who I am.
You know, I talked about that over the weekend with somebody who's in this business, and you have not done that. You have not run people down. I mean, from county commission times to... Your first run for Congress, you were just didn't do it. And you had ample opportunity, this other person I talked about, and you didn't do it.
Well, it's not my personality.
I figured that out every time.
I'm going to go back to I'm just Jerry. Mm-hmm. I can't be anybody different. It's just my personality. But I think that campaign, it did get pretty nasty.
This last one, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it was different.
You're here.
Yeah.
You're here mm-hmm. playing all these tracks. Mm-hmm. You hear this stuff.
Play the commercials, yeah.
But I don't want that. I want to enjoy this election. I truly do. I want to have fun. I love people. I love meeting people. I love hearing their problems. And I had one fussing at me earlier when, on a voting record, something I'd voted on the floor. And I like to hear from people. I disagreed with what he was telling me. But, when we left, he goes, well, I'm going to vote for you. At least you're honest.
And I looked at that. We've talked about that in the past, in the last cycle, that the voting records, when you look at you and Congressman Moore, you can't put a dang business card between them in space. I mean,
right.
And it's that thing gets lost. People make assumptions, well, Jerry voted, with the Democrats this many times. You didn't. You lined up exactly where Barry Moore was. Why do you think that perception's out there?
I think Barry just did a good job of selling himself to be much more conservative.
But y'all voted at the same
point. But he did a good job of that. He did. I mean, he is a very conservative voter. I consider myself to be a very conservative voter. Being on appropriations, you don't always have that opportunity, though.
Mm-hmm.
Being on appropriations, sometimes you have to hold your nose and vote. And I know that's something that a lot of people don't want to talk about and people don't like. But, the reality is reality. So if we're going to be on appropriations, which we get to take our seniority, back.
That's what I was going to ask you. How does that work for committee assignments?
We get our seniority. We go back on our committees, and we go back there. I'm looking after Alabama. The mm-hmm. state of Alabama. I represent District 1, but the entire state's what I'm looking after. So from an appropriation standpoint, sometimes you have to trade things off. You know, it's not to the degree of Trump, what Trump's trying to, you know, trade back and forth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to trade things off sometime to get what you want.
So if you go back, I guess if the spot's available, or do you push it? Like, because I'm thinking appropriations, natural resources, different things you would be able to get back on. Because those are two big ones.
Yeah. So the speaker called me about 2 months ago and to advise, just say hello and, you mm-hmm. know, congratulate me for getting in. Or he knew I was getting in, but he told me I keep my seniority and I get back on the committees if I want to get on those committees. A lot of people don't have a stomach for appropriations. It's not an easy committee.
No.
You take fire from both sides on appropriations, but that's where I want to be. That's my background. I've ran books. I've run businesses, and I'm good with numbers and trying to make things balance out. You know, and we've got to do it in this country. There's so many things we got to do. This tariff money that's coming in, let's put it towards a debt.
Yes,
I don't want another check.
Nor do I, Congressman.
You know, we all need it. I'm not going to argue that, especially the middle class in this country. The Democrats have just destroyed over the last 10 or 12 years.
Well, if we're reducing the size of government services, which I agree, and downsizing government, then we should see some return on paying off debt.
Of course. It won't be instant.
Nothing worth doing is, but once again, somebody said, well, you must not want some check. Of course I want a check, but I want my republic to succeed more than I want the check right now.
Well, I'm proud to say I've never received a check.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the income bracket that I've never received one. And that's not a bragging state. I just proud I didn't qualify for it. You know, that's a good thing.
Aspirational for me, one day I'll be where I don't receive a check.
You say so.
Let's also talk about things that are pretty germane to AL1 and this end of AL1. Conversations you and I've had over time when you're in office and out of office have focused a lot on what we do for, you talk about the tariffs, but that involves the port and also getting U.S. flagged or U.S. built merchant ships out there. When we come back from the break, I want to pick that up.
Love to.
All right, coming right back with Jerry Carl.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to talk to Jerry Carl, announcing today officially in for AL1 for the Republican ticket here. I do want to talk to you about, if you were elected again, where you are on. So the tariffs, we got a big port here. Mm-hmm. The tariffs are an issue. Also, originally, you and I talked about, you came on the show to talk about they were going to impose a million-dollar fine on a ship that was built in China that came into the port, and you pointed out that, 80-something percent of the ships on the high seas?
80-plus percent are built in China.
So I felt that was not fair because there's no way to get American-built ships turned around fast enough.
The tariffs, in my opinion, are the strongest tool we've got in negotiating. So if we can get it to where it's 0-0, I'm happy.
Sure.
We don't need a 20% tariff. We don't need a 100% tariff. We need it 0-0. So we can sell cars, we can sell tractors, we can sell fruit and vegetables and other markets.
Okay. So how do we?
The only way we're going to get there is continue to let Trump do what he's doing, which is impose 20%, and they'll come back and they will renegotiate it. They will renegotiate it.
Something does need to happen, though. There's been so many stories. People on the left are shocked that it hasn't had the damage to the economy they thought it would. Other stories you read, Wall Street Journal, whatever, saying these companies are sucking up the tariffs right now, but there'll be a point when they've got to turn loose on the consumers out there. I don't know if it's enough time for American companies to fill in, because what we would want to have happen is that people stop buying the things at the tariffed amount, right? Now the foreign companies, if they're still selling the stuff at the tariffs, they don't care. But we stop buying them and buy something else.
Right.
Or quit buying that product. That's the point that I think the real leverage kicks in on this. And I don't know, can you get that done in 2 years? That really, Trump has really not even 2 years left with Well, Congress might be. Well,
truly, we've got just a handful of countries that we have that problem with. I mean, Europeans right now, we're setting, I don't know where they wound up on the tariffs on that, 15%, yeah, 12%, something like that. And we also opened up the auto industry over there so we can start shipping cars over. Mexico, we still have a problem with. And China. China's the big one. China's the big one. We've got to figure out how to get them to open their markets and or pay the tariffs.
Or we got to be able to get the stuff that China makes from us from somewhere we're not getting tariffed.
I agree.
And leave them out in the cold.
Remember what I told you? I said, this is not going to happen painless. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt all of us. Maybe not just financially. You know, instead of using aluminum foil, we might have to use something else. Mm-hmm. I mean, we might have to learn to substitute. So, but I do believe the tariffs have done an incredible job for this country. We don't know the final results yet. I was talking with Coach Tuberville. He and I had this conversation about a month ago. And we're both kind of got a question mark in our head where it's going to wind up. You know, will it be a good thing or a bad thing? But I have to trust people that are much smarter than me. And Trump certainly is one of them. So I'm going to follow him into this.
Okay, let's talk about further international stories right now with dignitaries, many, yep. Showed up at the White House for this negotiation on ending the war, Russia's war against Ukraine. You've got a lot of criticism here on this station for having funded Ukraine, right. Sending money to Ukraine. And then correct. I remember you came on afterwards and said, okay, that's enough. I'm stopping there. Can you kind of, where do you stand on that?
So the first vote on Ukraine that we had, I got a briefing behind closed doors, and they told us that 17% of the grain of the entire world was there in silos, that they could not get it out, that we needed to fund Ukraine to get those supplies down to the port and get it out. And I agreed to do that. That was one of those things that you're going to let 17% of the population starve to death till the next year when they grow it. So I agreed to do that. I thought Ukraine did have a right to defend itself, and I still think it has a right to defend itself. But that's the only time I ever agreed with the funding. I think we had three or four, maybe even five votes after that, mm-hmm. and I voted against every one after that because I think Ukraine needs to stand on its own. I certainly think NATO needs to be more involved, and I don't necessarily mean jets in the skies and boots on the ground, but they need to be collective bargaining, and that's what Trump's pulling together for. You know, in that same briefing, they told us, they told us that, and I got to be careful how much I say here, that they told us, they missed it within one day of when that war was going to start.
Mm-hmm.
They told us where the line was going to be. That's as far as Russia was going to push in. Russia would take that and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't work out. They got within one day, the Russians pushed in, and Russians went far past that river system. So,
well, yeah, they were plans on taking over Kyiv in the first.
Oh, sure, sure. Days. Well, they're after those minerals. I'm bound to determine that's the truth. They're after those rare minerals, which are supposed to be ours now.
Yeah, I thought we worked the deal out.
That's what I'm getting at. That's supposed to be ours
now. But it's actually brilliant from the Ukrainian perspective because we have to make sure they win. Like, I think, you know, people miss that part of it. Yeah. We made a deal to get them repaid with these rare earth minerals, but we'd only get them if Ukraine wins, which further ties us to Ukraine.
Great point.
Right? I mean, we only get it. Another international thing to ask you, this one quickly from Derek said, important question for Jerry. With some states looking to criminalize any speech criticizing Israel as anti-Semitic hate speech, would you consider this? And if so, how do you balance that with First Amendment? And
I disagree with that. I think everyone has a right to express themselves. I don't want to play with the First Amendment. If you like it, fine. If you don't like it, you know, get equal time. Be able to express yourself. I don't want to play with First Amendments. I don't want to pick the winners and the losers. That's not right.
Fire Dog says it turned out for Jerry. Met him several times at events. Always came away pleased. Several people saying the same thing here. And this is a question too. Like, what do they want? And I know kind of. Well, I have to get you back because I want to figure out as you go. I know you campaigned once in that other area of AL1.
Sure.
I do want to know like what they want. If it's some of it lines up with us. I mean, nationally, I'm sure they want the same thing as conservative voters. But I'm talking about what's their And they got military bases there. They got, I mean, what is their thing?
Farm community, research, Fort Rucker, helicopters. Helicopters and peanuts is about 90% of their
okay. So I can take that away. The helicopters and peanuts.
Helicopters and peanuts. Now, there are obviously other things, too. They got some great colleges over there, some great school systems. They need some infrastructure help, like we all do. But helicopters and peanuts are primarily their focus, and cotton, obviously, but the ag industry.
Okay. Well, we can blend that together with here. People want to get more information about this campaign, where do they go?
JerryCarl.com. All right. JerryCarlForCongress.com. I got to get used to it.
There you go.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll be talking more in the future. Coming back, city council discussion. Councilman Josh Woods joins us next.